weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping.
Well, it's been a heck of a winter so far, hasn't it? And it isn't even winter. We just heard from a weather expert about why the weather is the way it is this month and what we might expect for the rest of this week and the rest of the season. Now we will talk about how to be prepared for dangerous winter weather conditions and driving in winter weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I am not a winter driving fan, and I would rather be doing anything else in the world than driving on snow or ice-covered roads. I was really horrified to see that video of the multi-car pileup near Milwaukee from last Sunday, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, and all the people who were walking around the highway and cars were skidding out of control and narrowly missing them and crashing into other vehicles and flying off the side of the road. Here is some audio from a 911 call to the Menominee Falls Police Department from that pile up on Highway 4145.
Take a deep breath, okay? Take a deep breath. Okay? Make sure, ma'am, stay in the vehicle.
We'll talk about what's the safest thing to do if you find yourself caught in a situation like that. Get a little bit of advice on how to be prepared for the worst that this winter dishes out. And we'll welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Todd Pritchard, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Wisconsin Emergency Management. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Well, that video, that DOT video from that big traffic pileup on Highway 4145 in Germantown, it got nationwide, I think worldwide attention.
It went around the world, absolutely. And I think no one can go away from that not realizing how dangerous winter driving is, right? And I think it has an impact on everyone who sees that.
It really did have an impact on me. And it was being shared with the message, slow down. Was that the message?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, winter driving is a whole different animal, obviously. Every year we have to kind of re-educate ourselves on driving, you know, much more slowly, you know, taking our time, being a lot easier on the gas and on the brake, you know, not slamming either of them at one time. And frankly, in this, you know, when you get these kind of road conditions, gravity and momentum are not on your side.
Yeah.
You cannot come to a sudden stop. And it's just common sense, but just taking extra time. And there's so many tools now at our disposal, right? The Department of Transportation has their great 511 road conditions. So you can either call 511 from any phone in the state, or you can go to their website. It's 511wi.gov. And you can look up the latest road conditions anywhere in the state. So there's really no reason to when you see that the roads are becoming, slick, dangerous, to, you know, check out the conditions and say, wait a second, I need to go to, you know, I was thinking of going from point A to point B. Maybe that's not such a great idea right now. Maybe I need to just let the storm pass, let the road crews do their work, clear the roads, and then, you know, take that trip.
Well, that you'll be happy to know that I did cancel a trip, a tentative trip to Chicago on Saturday morning. We saw what the forecast was calling for, and it was going to be even worse, like lake effect snow.
Right.
It turned out not to be quite as bad as originally forecast, but my husband and I just said, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It wasn't like it was some critical work function or anything.
Yeah, and that's so smart because, you know, I think we're hardy in Wisconsin. We think we can make it through anything, right? We can go through that snow and whatever. And you know, when you have to get to work, when you have to go someplace, of course. But if you don't have to, you know, absolutely, hold up on that trip. Postpone it. Even just, you know, again, just giving the road crews a few hours to be able to clear out things and try to get some salt and sand down can make a huge difference.
Well, let's say, though, we are going on an absolutely necessary trip, and we find ourselves in that type of situation at Germantown, where it looked like it started with just somebody, you know, smashing into the back of another car, and then they were disabled in the middle of the highway,
right.
And then just, you know, pile up after pile up, and cars going off the sides of the road. What should you do if you are coming upon a scene like that?
Well, I think the first thing is just your safety. Trying to, if you can, if your car, obviously you've been in a part of this wreck, if you can get the car to a safe place, to try to get to the shoulder of the road, if it's still drivable to some extent, try to get to the side of the road and get off to a safe place as best you can, and then stay in the vehicle. That probably was on top of the crash itself, the horror that I noticed was people getting out of their vehicle and either, you know, taking pictures or, you know, obviously your human instinct is to go and try to help folks, which is great, but that's the worst possible place you can be in the middle of a pileup like that. As you saw, you know, there are, you know, dozens of cars behind you, you know, coming into that accident scene. So staying in your vehicle, waiting for help to arrive is the best thing you could do.
But, you know, I did, I also thought when I saw that, I was too horrified at the people just kind of running from car to car and or just meandering across this icy highway as you could see cars, you know, barreling toward them. And I could see if they were trying to maybe help someone that was injured, perhaps, but I'm not sure what they were doing. I also thought, should you, if you're seeing cars smashing into other cars and you're in your car, don't you run the risk of being hurt while you're in your car?
Well, there is that risk, but I think it's even a greater risk if you're outside the vehicle. At least if you're in the vehicle, you know, keep yourself seatbelted in and, you know, and wait for that help to arrive. If you feel like you're in the middle of it, I guess trying to get to safety is another possibility. But I think you're very vulnerable once you start, you know, leaving that vehicle and going off. So I think staying in your vehicle is the best bet.
There was another video that was shared after the pileup video that showed it was a different scene, a different Milwaukee area highway. Where people were, you know, kind of just standing near their disabled vehicle on the side of the road, and another car hit the vehicle, and the vehicle hit them.
Right. And a lot of times you see where, like, you know, folks will have some sort of problem on the side of the road, even if it's like a flat tire or something like that, and maybe they're trying to fix the tire. I cringe every time I see that. You know, obviously you're trying to, you know, help yourself get back on the road, but the possibility of someone, you know, especially in any kind of driving conditions, but especially in winter conditions, coming up and hitting you by accident, hitting another vehicle and that vehicle hitting you is, you know, exponentially greater than, you know, it should be. So that's a very risky business to try to get into. Again, I would strongly recommend just people stay in that vehicle, call 911, get a wrecker there, get some help. Yeah, because when you get to an accident, we're all looky-loos, right? We're all distracted. We're all, and you may not notice there's a person standing in the middle of the road next to a vehicle, or you may not notice where the, you know, you may end up going into that scene too. So,
right. I mean, it was, all right. Stay in the vehicle is safer than getting out of the vehicle. Getting your vehicle, if you can, off the middle of the highway,
right,
to a safer spot, if you can. If you are, though, driving and you see this commotion in front of you and you're on an icy road, what advice do you have then?
Well, you know, obviously slow down, right? I think a lot of folks didn't do, and I'm not sure why, and I guess the investigation is still going on, but, you know, why people just, like, barreled a million miles an hour. If you start to see, you know, cars in front of you flashing their brake lights and really slowing down, don't go flying past them. You know, you need to kind of slow down too and think to yourself, well, you know, defensive driving 101, right? Well, there might be something ahead of me that I can't see. Maybe I just need to slow down a little bit right here because I see other folks are slowing down. Instead of just, like, trying to pass them up and barrel your way through there.
Right, there was a semi that ended up stopping, and I thought, good for that semi driver. He stopped without hitting any of these vehicles, so even that massive vehicle was able to stop when he saw what was going on, and then people were flying around him.
Right, exactly. So that should be a tell, right? If there's a car, if there's a truck that's really slowed down in front of me, I need to slow down too.
Yeah. Well, we will talk more about winter driving and how to be prepared for other dangerous winter weather conditions as we move along here, talking with Todd Pritchard, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for the Wisconsin Emergency Management. And we're welcoming your reactions to the video of that chain reaction accident last Sunday. Have you been involved in a similar situation or a near-miss situation? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll also talk about emergency kits. Do you have one in your car or in your home? Are you prepared for a long-term power outage? We'll talk about what we should do for that, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Shoveling, just me and my dad. We're shoveling, shoveling, shoveling all night long.
We are talking about winter weather and preparing for winter weather with Todd Pritchard, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Wisconsin Emergency Management. And we're welcoming your questions, maybe your own advice. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, Todd, it's going to feel like the tropics tomorrow when we get into the mid to upper 20s.
I know. Isn't this amazing? I think we're all kind of a little thrown by having this cold this early in Wisconsin. And, you know, you were mentioning earlier the 18 below in Rhinelander. That's really, you're in the danger zone, right? When you start getting wind chills in the minus 20, 25, that's when frostbite can really kick in less than a half an hour. Hypothermia, professor before was talking about how hypothermia is so prevalent this time of year. Your mom was right. You know, wear that hat. Even don't try to make a fashion statement at this time of year. Get out the ugly Wisconsin, you know, winter hat, which I'm wearing today, and the boots and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's really obviously going to help you a lot. And then, you know, for frostbite, you know, limiting your outdoor activity, trying to, keep your tips of your fingers, your toes, your nose, your ears safe. That's where you really start, frostbite really kicks in quickly on kind of those extremities.
Yeah, that's, I should have mentioned the temperatures. Yeah, they are below zero for the most part all over the state of Wisconsin. Rhinelander 18 below, Green Bay 9 below, Superior 4 below. The hot spot in Wisconsin right now is one above in Milwaukee. So. But it is going to get, we're going to have a little bit of milder weather for the end of this week, and to the point where we might have freezing rain. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we got to be careful with that. That's even worse.
Oh, that's even worse. Absolutely.
And then it looks like we're going to go back into the deep freeze and for next week. So bundle up. And
oh boy.
I do wear that hat now. Listeners might know you were on the show a number of times talking about winter weathered preparedness, and we talked about having that safety kit in your car, the emergency kit.
And, so important.
Yeah, and I have it thanks to that conversation, and I'm happy to say I haven't had to use it yet, but it's really it's peace of mind to know it's there. What should we have in our cars for winter weather driving?
I think just some basic survival gear, right? So some extra blankets, maybe some hand warmers, some food and water in case you're stranded somewhere and you just need to, you know, survive until help arrives. A cell phone adapter is always a good idea, right? The minute you need to call for help is the minute you don't have any battery power left in your phone. So some of those things I think are so critical, especially when you get into these temperatures. If your vehicle is disabled and you've got to stay in your car for shelter for an extended period of time, you're really going to need some of these survival gear pieces. So, you know, go to our Ready Wisconsin webpage. We're at readywisconsin.wi.gov, or just to make it really simple, just search us at Ready Wisconsin. We've got a whole list of tips and ideas on how to put together a winter kit. But, you know, again, you know, the basics of jumper cables too, right? and making sure you've got a really good hardy scraper, maybe even a little shovel. I carry a little shovel in my car. Mm-hmm. At least you can, if you get in a ditch, you can maybe, you know, get a little bit of snow out from underneath your wheels, get a little bit of traction.
And what about in our homes? Should if we do have a power outage and it's going to be a long time, what should we have ready in our basements or wherever?
Yeah, I think it's always a good idea to have some, you know, basic food, some water stored, because you're right. It may be a situation where you're not able to heat anything, cook anything. If the power goes out, your fridge goes out. So, you know, having some base, and you may be, you know, you may have to just kind of hunker down in your home for whatever reason. Again, like an ice storm is a perfect example. If we get those kind of conditions, you know, you may not be able to leave home for a while. So having some basic food that you don't have to heat to prepare, you don't have to cool to store, and having, you know, those kind of things, a little bit of extra water. Again, we have a whole list of ideas on our website that you can tap into.
And we'll put that Ready Wisconsin website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, too, along with some other links. Let's go to some calls. Julie in Rice Lake is with us. Hello, Julie.
Hey, good morning. I just had a comment since you're on the subject. This is something that happened to my elderly parents. They would have been in their 80s and not in good health either. Here, a few winters ago here in Barron County, they had hit a deer. It was winter. It was dark. It was cold. And they hit a deer, and the hood popped up. Dad could not get the hood to stay down. Otherwise, the car was drivable. But they're on the side of Highway 8 in the dark, you know, in the winter, and trying to get the hood down. Well, I had given them a cell phone, just an emergency one. All he knew how to do was dial 911. And he did it. Well, I was proud of him. He dialed 911, and he asked the officer, he wanted someone to come and just hold a flashlight and help him tie the hood down so he could go home. They wouldn't come. They wouldn't come to his aid. And so, you know, my elderly father is out there in the dark, icy roads in the winter, and he took his belt off finally and somehow managed to get the hood down so he could make it home. But, yeah, I guess it really irritated me that they couldn't take the time to come and help him in what to me seemed like an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We don't know what the circumstances were with the sheriff's department. But normally, if somebody hit a deer and they have a disabled vehicle at the side of the road,
absolutely,
a sheriff's department is going to help them.
Yeah, I would sure think so.
Yeah,
but I think that also points out, you know, great idea for older folks to have a cell phone. You're right; they may not use it on a regular basis, but having that cell phone to be able to call, you know, what a great tool that they had at their disposal. And I think that, Joy, that brings up another thing, too, especially for all of us, but especially for older folks, too, is having your medications with you. You know, if you're stuck on the road and you don't have that, you know, that life-sustaining medication with you, you could be in really big trouble fast. So that I always recommend that folks at least carry at least one, you know, day's worth of their medications with them at all times, just in case they get into, you know, a situation where they're, you know, stranded, stuck, can't get to their other, you know, medications right away.
Julie, thanks for the call, and I'm sorry what happened to your parents, and I'm glad they made it all right. Scott in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, you know, it was actually early April this happened. We were tooling north on 41 from Nina back to Green Bay, and we spotted some deer at an untimely season of the year, but, of course, you know, they're across the street anytime they feel. And they were on the southbound lane, and we're on the northbound lane, so we actually slowed down because we saw them. Sure enough, they crossed the highway, but the car next to us, talking on the telephone, paying no mind that we're slowing down or why, tooled right into him, just plowed right into the deer, and that was the end of him, of course. But, I mean, he didn't get injured, but the deer did, and all I could think was, oh, deer.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, that reinforces what you said before. If you see someone else slowing down, figure out what's going on.
Right, and distracted driving, oh, my gosh, it is just an epidemic right now. Talking on your cell phone, unbelievably, people still text while they're driving, which I cannot believe that that's still going on, but it is, and that's a real danger. You've got to have every ounce of your focus on the road, especially at this time of year.
Yeah, well, we do have some other calls coming in, but just a minute to go. Any other winter weather preparedness advice that we haven't really talked about?
I think that carbon monoxide is such a danger at this time of year, so I really urge folks, make sure you have a carbon monoxide detector in your home. Carbon monoxide is, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, and it can take your life in a matter of minutes. So having that detector in your home is really important, especially as obviously we're firing up our furnaces and that kind of thing. But don't use any kind of other heating devices in your home that you're not supposed to use. If they're for outdoor use only, they're for outdoor use only. It can really, take your life very quickly.
Yeah, and that reminds me that if you should have a power outage and you do have a generator, I think I read on your website, don't use it in your house.
Right, absolutely. Make sure it's outside the home, well away from any kind of windows or other ventilation coming into your home. Absolutely. Use it the way the manufacturer intended you to use it.
Well, Todd, thanks for coming in.
Oh, Joy, thanks for having us.
Bundle up, and we will talk to you again, I'm sure, soon. Thanks very much
for being
with us. Todd Pritchard is Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Wisconsin Emergency Management. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. Be safe out there. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking about something yummy, candy making. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Snowman.